Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Jamie Dawn Show. Today is live. It is Monday, December 2nd, 2024. And hopefully our lovely little planet Mercury is going to behave today because I have a wonderful guest that I'm super excited about. And I'll bring her on in just a second. But if this is your first time joining, welcome. And you can connect in the chat room through 12radio.com. There's a chat button. Take you over to our private Facebook page where Jay, thank you, Jay, for producing. Wonderful producer will let you in. And you can add comments and questions and things like that. I actually am going to multitask today and check the chat room occasionally while Tatiana and I are chatting, but yeah, you know me, I have a way of rambling and then just lose it when it comes to the chat room. So thank you for your patience. And also, sorry, I'm getting over this cold. Some of you have talked to me about this. It's been going around. Plus, my beloved, as you know, is a first grade school teacher. So he's around these germ generators constantly. Brought it home last week, and you know, now I'm dealing with my congestion. But anyways, I feel better. Thank goodness. I hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving. And we had a new moon in Sagittarius on Saturday. And so hopefully you guys are feeling some of the more positive, lighter hearted and inspirational energies that Sagittarius brings us. I know this first and foremost because my daughter, who is my guest today, Tatiana, she is a Sagittarius in so many ways. She's Sag Sun. She's got actually six planets in Sagittarius in the ninth house. So let's just say if you're familiar with astrology, there's Sag everywhere. And it's great. And so I am going to introduce her because our time is going to go by fast. And I want to make sure that everybody has a chance to hear this beautiful woman and her wisdom. And I'll introduce her as I know her as my daughter, but also she is a professional. She is a resident therapist about to get her licensure. Yay. She's almost there. She's only like 2 or 3 weeks away. I'll let her talk about that, but about to be fully licensed. And she is going through the state of Virginia for that. But one of the things that I will introduce her most and first and foremost is this is a woman who has taken herself through her own healing journey and had support in many different ways, had her own traumas in life, and has come out the other side to be of great service to herself and to others. And I know firsthand the type of work that she does, she doesn't take lightly. And she is someone who learns fast and offers her wisdom and gifts to others in ways that help them feel safe, they help them feel heard, and also empowers them to be courageous and bold in their actions, and hopefully able to offer their healing as a gift to people in their lives as well. So without further ado and all my blubbering over my daughter, who I love and adore, Tatiana, you're with me, yes?
Hello, yes, I am.
Awesome. I'm so happy you're here. So today, especially after so much energy has been happening in the world and in our own personal lives, Tatiana and I thought it would be a really good opportunity, instead of doing a podcast, because we do have our podcast, Far From the Tree, instead of doing that, she was gracious enough to be able to join me live today to talk about all things feminine. Now, one thing I want to preference to say, this is not a man-hating show when we're going to talk about all things feminine, but if you want to learn and you want to give opinions and you want to maybe open your mind a little bit and get mixed up a little in all things feminine and female, today's the day. Yeah?
Sounds good.
So, Tatiana, did you happen to hear the music at the beginning, my intro music?
I did.
That's your beloved. That was your beloved. So just for the audience, so you know, my intro music is Talbot's music that he played, I think it was probably 8 years ago. He'll have to make me some new music, but that's Tatiana's husband. So he's a wonderful musician and good man. So So Tatiana, let's talk about all things feminine. Anything you want to just, I guess, like I say, I want to set the stage for us to talk. We're going to talk about the feminine energies and the qualities, emotions. I want to talk about misconceptions and labels and how women have been raised, things like that. Where do you want to start?
I think I want to start with, if anyone needs an obituary, Jamie Dawn sounds like the person to write it for you, because my introduction was beautiful, so thank you.
Well, I prefer not to have an obituary anytime soon for anyone, so.
I guess maybe starting in a recent place, I guess with last week, I will say that the holidays tend to bring out, we tend to think of it as the season of joy. You know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, all of that. And then Hanukkah and Kwanzaa are in there too, if you celebrate. And I'm sure I'm missing a couple. But it's also very much the season of grief. And I think it's that way for many, many reasons, whether that is literally losing a loved one or multiple loved ones. Or more ambiguous losses, like loss of freedom or independence or innocence. And those, the last one, the loss of innocence, has been, I think, a big one for me, where I have become incredibly like disillusioned with the world and the way things are. And that has very much given way to, yes, a lot of grief, but very much a lot of anger and resentment. So I guess to go a little further, going into the anger and the resentment, for me, it feels like I'm waking up to a lot of lies. And it's, I don't think there's anyone in particular to blame, not that we should be looking for people to blame, but that tends to be the human mind. We have to have something to attach it to. But waking up to the lies that are in history books, and we're watching history be rewritten in front of our eyes right now. And we can see that in the way education changes, the way kids are taught, what they're being taught. And I imagine it's been that way for not just my generation, but all the ones previous. Waking up to the lies about, at least for me, because some people are very much okay with how their life is, and I'm happy for them. I would love to be in that space. Right now, that's not where I am. But the lies that we have around gender and norms and how we should operate if we identify as male or female. And then that also very much goes into, again, the lies in the history, because it's the lies of the systems, the lies of our governments that we've been told. And I can't speak for all countries, because there are some countries with brilliant education. You can see this in the way their citizens are. But for me here, and then working with the therapy, I started a book called Decolonizing Therapy by Dr. Jennifer Milan. And that has really shed a lot of light onto the systems and how I've been brought up in school. And again, going back into history, that things are the way they are because of systems and because of certain people that put them in place. And it really sucks when you realize that you don't have to be the way that you are. You can actually be someone different. But going about how to get there is it's sometimes the problem. So I hope that opened that up.
Absolutely. Thank you. I think you're right on, because the systems that are broken have to be broken up and reinvented and redone, because they don't serve anymore. And, you know, interesting, you were talking about the lies and how we were raised and things like that, you know, and it's much easier to lie to children because they accept everything. They're gullible. They're innocent, right? And it's easier to lie to them than to have them face, or I don't want to say face, have them discover who they are and have a voice for themselves and advocate for themselves, because we think that they are too young or they don't know better, right? It's that old conditioning of like, I'm the parent, so I know better kind of thing, instead of allowing the safe space for them to discover who they are And I think one of the things that people are so afraid of, the reason why these some of these systems have been in place for so long, is that if we break a system, then we don't understand it and we can't control it. And people are afraid of what we can't control. We're afraid of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's my philosophy has in parenting. And part of that was because I was raised in such an oppressive environment. Not that my parents aren't good humans, because they are, but, you know, and they were limited and all that. You don't know what you don't know. But I mean, people who have known me for a long time know that it was a very oppressed religious home. And I, you know, I was raised in the be seen, not heard environment, and that I wasn't allowed to rage. I wasn't allowed to have anger and show it. I had to be the good girl, you know, some of those stereotypes. But being the rebel that I am, I kept trying to break free of that oppression or that system. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I could start doing that. Sadly, I was doing that behind the scenes. So I was doing that where I was rebelling quietly, in a sense. In other words, the people who were right in front of me couldn't see my rebellion because I was still playing the role of the good girl. And yet in my, when those that I weren't interacting with on a regular basis didn't see the way I was rebelling in behind the scenes, right? And so I had to come to reconcile those two things to be able to be an authentic person, to be able to say, you know what? Because I can tell you, in my 30s, I was an angry woman. I was a very angry woman. And I started to use that anger in a way that was channeled towards my life's work and towards the things that I was passionate about and things like that, that I didn't have to, I didn't necessarily have to throw a temper tantrum, but I gave myself permission to own my anger, which felt so empowering, you know? Mm-hmm. So we talk about some of the systems or the oppressions that we've had to face.
I'm right on par, being angry in my 30s.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, I can't recall, maybe you have a better memory about this, you know, your childhood than I do at this point, because I swear I'm getting, the older I get, the less I remember. But I don't recall ever suppressing your anger, but I know that there was social conditioning around it, that as a girl, right? I mean, let's talk about that for a minute, because I think there's something here that we need to embrace, and that is women being angry. People should be shaking in their boots, because most women have been told you're not allowed to show that side of yourself. It's so unattractive. I do remember that a couple of times where I would lose my shit and someone would look at me and go, well, that's not very attractive. I'm not trying to be attractive right now. I'm trying to create change.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. That was something I said to Talbot last week was, it was a very emotional day, but I wound up saying to him, you know, I've never been in this place in my entire life before. I've never been this angry in my entire life before. And I would appreciate the patience and compassion that I have shown you over the years in trying to navigate this. And that was well received, which I appreciated. But it's true. I see it a lot with my clients, and I'm seeing it a lot in the world, and I'm very grateful for it. Like, when we are able to wake up as women to this internal sense of rage, when we're able to unlock anger from the jail cell that we put it in, it is, yes, so powerful that hopefully it does not take over, but it becomes the source of that empowerment. It's how we can mobilize things to, like you say, start change. Even if we're just starting with the simple, small personal things that we have going on. It doesn't have to be the bigger systems. I saw a video today of Colombia, the country, outlawing child marriages, and it has been a 17-year advocacy fight. So hopefully it doesn't take 17 years to start making small changes in our own lives, but the systems, they will take longer.
Yeah. I mean, systems are put in place to try and create order out of chaos, right? And if they serve, that's great. If we don't ever question them, then I have an issue with that, right? I mean, it sounds silly, and I recognize that I'm being very rebellious about it, but I mean, even something as simple as stoplights or stop signs, I mean, you, jokingly about this, but it's true. It's like, to me, if that stop sign is sitting there, and I know it's a silly example, but sitting there and it's midnight and there's nobody around, what am I stopping for? Because the sign is there? What? You know, and I recognize there's laws and all of that, but I'm using that as a way to say, why am I not questioning the systems that are in place? If they are relevant, keep them. If they're not, we've got to change them. I mean, I get incensed about this whole women's body, you know, and how that is even a political topic. It's my fucking body. You have no political right over what I do with it. And I am sovereign and I have agency and I'm here. And the fact that I'm even talking about it, that's what incenses me, you know?
Yes.
And these are the kind of things we have to keep questioning.
Yes.
So what are you raging about these days? Let's talk about this rage. Here you are in your 30s now. Ha ha. By the way, it's her birthday in 2 weeks. What are you raging about now?
Okay, you want the unadulterated truth?
Hey, it's internet radio. Anything goes.
Cool. Great. I am raging about being in an emotionally and psychologically abusive relationship with a parent for so long and just now waking up to it. I am raging about the mistreatment of myself and my partner over the last decade. I am raging over people trying to dominate and control. I'm trying to steady myself. I can hear my voice catching. I am raging about people trying to control other people's bodies, especially women, and trying to keep them down. I am raging about old, outdated systems, about children being able to be married off to adults when it is completely inappropriate in this day and age. I am raging about women not being able to speak to each other in other countries, one, at all, and two, about the choice to be childless or to offer dissent about their government and their policies. I am raging at the mistreatment of children in general and childhood trauma and how I see them as adults, and it's so painful to unravel from all that. Raging about the way that we treat the earth. But shit, she's gonna rage back and that's gonna suck for everybody, but you know, that's ultimate feminine rage and she deserves it because we have treated her like shit for a long time. I'm raging over the sense of loss that a lot of us feel in this country, in particular in the United States, at putting a sexual predator in office, and people who have been abused in the past now have to reckon with that and see that person as their figurehead, as their leader in the world, and how incredibly painful and disgusting that is for them. People trying to take away other people's rights and basic dignities as a human being. That's the gist of it.
So it's life. I'm just kidding. And I just want to give you an opportunity to make whatever statement you want. As you're raging about all these various topics, one of the things that you and I were talking about the other day, I love how you set that up with Talbot, where you said, this isn't me angry with all men. This is me angry with what? Could you kind of recap what you said there? Because I think it's a good setup that as we women are raging, as we are empowering our voices, I mean, I'm pissed off about that. I keep practicing self-forgiveness, but I'm pissed off of having my voice oppressed or repressed for so long. And part of that was my own fears and my own insecurities, but it was also because of the system I was raised in. And I, you know, and like I said, it was that be seen, not heard kind of thing. I was taking, if I made noise, if I whispered too loud or talked at all during a church service, I was taken out and spanked. I mean, you know, I can joke about it. It's like, yay, I love spankings, right? But sorry, that's an off-color joke. But to create a little levity there, but it did reinforce that whole thing of like, I am not allowed to have a voice. And so I would love for you to have an opportunity to share your voice with how you set that up with when you're trying to talk about what's happening for you when you're raging. What's a good way to let the audience be prepared or to hold the space for you?
Holding the space, that is a really, I think, salient term for it, because the space that I was in is exactly what I needed. I will preface it with, this was a Friday. I work Monday through Thursday. I sit with clients at least 20 every week. With their pain and their anguish. And yes, of course, sometimes we have the positive sessions, you know, all the really good things are happening, but that's once in a blue moon, once every couple of weeks. And so sitting with this pain, and of course, in this country, we're coming out of an election as well. And all of these new policies are talking about being put forth, and we have these stupid children on the internet saying your body, my choice. And that was one of the things that set me off. And of course I understand the social media, we have to have boundaries with it. Totally different conversation, but absolutely do. But anyway, another video that I saw was this like woman, I guess, after having children, showing her husband her body. And I don't know if this like, you know, was for the clout or whatever, but he, in the video, he gets up and walks away. And this other guy comes on. He's like, men, like, if you are treating the women who bear your children like this, you don't deserve, one, to have her, but two, to have those children. Like, she gave you the thing that you are asking for. She put her body through this labor, through this process. And for you to be so disrespectful to say, oh my God, you're ugly. It's disgusting. I can't believe that you would dare look like this in my presence. Not saying that people went that far, but it feels like that sometimes. And to dismiss her, I was so pissed. Do I have children? No. But I am a child, meaning that you, my mother, may have encountered this at some point, of someone seeing your stretch marks, of someone seeing, you know, the loose skin, whatever it is, of having to bear a child, if not multiple. The weight gain that comes with it, the postpartum depression, trying to navigate how to raise a kid, the anxiety that just comes with being pregnant, going through pregnancy, Jesus. And then to have that dismissed, unbelievable. So that was part of it. So anyway, I was very angry. I rolled up to pick up Talbot from his job, and I was listening to heavy music, and I was pissed. I was sitting in the passenger seat. I was dumb driving, and people.
I think I called you, didn't I? Call? Wouldn't I talk? Tried to talk to you on the way. And you're like, I can't talk right now.
Yeah. Yep. I was like, I'm very frustrated. You're like, okay. Bye. But I get there. He's looking in the car, and he sees me. He's like, uh-oh, what's happening? And I said, well, what I want to say, I'm afraid you won't be able to hear. He's like, well, no, I want to hear it. I'm like, okay, so let me preface it with this. This is not an all men discussion. This is not an all women discussion. This is a certain men and certain women discussion that think like this. And I launched into it. And for me, it was about the men and women who are disrespectful to each other and to ourselves. The mostly the men who think that women are property that should be subservient, that deserve disrespect, that deserve to be talked to any way they feel like it because they're the man. The boys that are saying, you know, your body, my choice. Because now kids, of course, have seen that online and they're just parading around school saying it, knowing or not knowing what it is they're actually saying, but perpetuating it. Some of the mass shooters that later, if they're interviewed, say, well, you know, I was denied sex by women, and so that's why I shot up this school or mall or wherever it was. Those were the people I was mad at. The people that feel entitled to somebody else and power and control over them. And I launched into it for probably like 15 minutes, and then I cried a lot, and we had a great rest of the night. And he was able to listen to me, and it was great. So this, of course, has also come at a lot of practice on my end with my words and the safety that I feel in my relationship, because we worked really hard to get here, that he was able to receive that. If I hadn't prefaced the conversation that way, I don't think it would have been productive.
I think you're making a beautiful point. And that is, number one, everyone is allowed to feel what they feel. Number two, if you can set the tone, if you will, or the expectation of the audience, what role they're playing, or what state of mind they can take on while you're venting, raging, whatever it might be, then you can set this up for success. I think the other third point I'll make is that you also have to know that you're safe with that audience. And, you know, Brené Brown talks a lot about vulnerability and all that, and how, you know, you can't be vulnerable with just everybody as much as you want to be, because really, what do we want as human beings? We want to connect and we want intimacy, and intimacy means vulnerability. But, you know, you don't know that you're safe with everybody. But I love, just to put that period at the end of the sentence, is part of what you and I do in our profession is to create a safe environment for people to feel what they feel and to share it and to know that they're safe within their own bodies, their own minds, their own hearts.
Safety is a core thing. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially emotional and psychological safety.
Yeah. And now, you know, the safety comes without judgment. I think that's one of the things about feeling safe, is to let go of any judgment we might have, even if there's a bias there or whatever, because we're human. So we have our biases from conditionings and whatnot. But to be able to approach, let's say, what the subject matters that you were raging about. I mean, when I called you that day and you're like, I just can't right now. There was no judgment on my end. I didn't feel rejected or whatever. It was just like, okay, she felt safe enough to say to me, this is not a good time. And I appreciate that. And I knew there was something going on, because I kept calling her and texting her, are you okay? I'm feeling you. and giving that kind of respect to another human being too, that when they are processing something, that we don't push and we don't project our agenda, like, oh, I'm calling to try and help you, why won't you talk to me? Da, 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 da. I think that's another thing that annoys the fuck out of me. It's like, I'll talk when I'm ready to talk, you know? And now someone is getting pushy and saying, but I'm here to help you. You're not helping me, you're just making it worse.
Yes.
You know?
Yep. If we haven't been able to sit there and fully process the thoughts and the feelings and find the words for them, it comes out as a jumbled mess sometimes. It just has to come out. But I know for myself that the longer I sit and process, the more articulate I am. And sometimes that goes back to being perfect, right? I have to have everything said perfectly. But it's important for me to be authentic in what I say and make sure that I'm saying things that still line up with my integrity while being honest. I don't want to say hurtful things that I cannot take back just because I'm emotional. That does not feel very integral or fair on my end.
When you're raging or you're sad, so, you know, I notice that a lot of people don't know what to do when someone's crying or they're really sad about something. One of the worst things that we can do is to reach over and just automatically hug them. because we take them out of their process. We're trying to take their pain away from them. So, and that is really disempowering in many ways. Would you agree, or would you say there was something else that could be done? What's your suggestion with that?
I think it can be if we are trying to be the savior or the rescuer, we need to be checking ourselves. Most of us jump into offering problem solving and solutions because we don't know how to sit in the space and hold space for somebody going through it. So the alternative, instead of jumping in to give the hug because we assume maybe that's what we need and so they would too, is asking the question, can I give you a hug in this moment? Or do you want me to just sit here with you? Can I hold your hand? Can we go for a walk while you talk to me? Is there anything else that you need? No, I don't want to talk about it. Do you want me to talk about something else? Distract you for a little while? If we can, yes, in a sense that's offering solutions, but it's offering options. It's giving that person the power of choice. And choice is so important, especially coming into adulthood, because as kids, we don't really have it. Yes, we might have our parents or caregivers might create the space to offer, you know, thoughts or opinions or things like that. But ultimately, they are the ones who make the choice. And so as adults, having choice is important. So if someone is sad, if someone is angry and you give them options and they have a choice and they say, I don't want any of that, I just want to scream. Cool. Can you sit there and can you let them scream? They made that choice.
Yeah. You know, we use the, at Mystery School, we use the term holding space quite a bit, and we've worked on changing the language simply because we're not whole. It has the indication, and I'm not saying it's not a good thing to do, holding space, but one other addition to that, it's a yes and, is that the holding still has a certain element of action behind it that I'm, or not action in the negative sense, but it's like I'm clinging or I'm grabbing, if you will. And so often I'll also say we're tending the space. How am I tending this? You know, if tending has a little bit more of the awareness around it for me, when I use that word with it, I'm going to tend this space, caregive it, you know? So if that person is really sad and like you're talking about, has the choice and says, I could use a hug. Okay, I'm going to tend them by hugging them. Or what I need right now is I just need to start throwing something and, you know, having something available that won't hurt them or somebody else, you know, that they can throw or whatever. So really tending that space as well. And I think, you know, in conversation, we aren't taught how to tend conversation. We're taught how to tend, I mean, we can be taught how to tend action, right? Physicalness. But when people are talking, I've noticed so many of us get attached. I'm guilty of this. I get attached to what is being said and how it's being said that I all of a sudden make it about me, right? And I lose tending that this is their process. Do you notice that for yourself at all?
Well, you mentioned holding space as a verb, but so is tending. So yeah. Just
it's still yeah, action. Yeah. Or, that's what I was saying. Yes, and.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so we, what was your question again? I lost my train of thought.
Oh, that's okay. No, I was saying about how I noticed that our words have a way of, at least for me, I can start getting lost in that individual's words, their story. I start getting, I can take it personally. I start turning it on because of what they're saying and how they're saying. It's like, well, is this about me now? You know what I mean? So I just noticed that trend happens quite a bit of how these words and thoughts really get us wrapped around the axle when we and we can take somebody out of their process by trying to talk too much, talk over them, you know, or ask questions.
We would rather feel anything else other than helpless. Yeah. So we would rather feel guilty. It was all my fault. I could have done something else, when the reality is probably not. I would love to offer you solutions because sitting here makes me feel so powerless. I want to jump in there and give you a hug because it's something other than just sitting here. Everything is, in a sense, trying to empower us in some way, even if it does strip away that empowerment. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yep.
Counterintuitive, I guess. So,
how would you, in your experience, how would you suggest channeling the rage and anger in a positive way?
Well, I guess kind of like any other emotion, you know, that phrase, name it to tame it, is important. If we can't name it though, because sometimes we don't have the emotional vocabulary, simply saying, I'm feeling really uncomfortable right now, and that's okay. Take the why out of it. Why am I feeling like this? There has to be a reason. Okay, well, the why also contributes to us avoiding the feeling. So can we just sit with feeling uncomfortable? And if you know what that feeling is, can we sit with being angry or sad or frustrated or grieving, disappointed, and just say, it's okay that I feel this way right now? If support is something you feel like you need, can you reach out to somebody who you trust that can tend to that space and just listen, or whatever else you might need in that moment? If that's not what you need, or people aren't available, movement is always good. If you can go for a walk, please do, because one, being in nature is awesome, but if we can't be in nature, find a treadmill, pace in the apartment, in the house, in the backyard, whatever it is. And if we can't do that, what other kind of movement can we do? Jumping jacks, you know, marches, just shaking our hands, and finding a way to channel those feelings through our body so that it can process. Once the emotions are gone, we can start thinking logically. It's just the way the brain works. The brain will always go to survival first and logic and reason later. So if we can get out of survival mode and go back into logic and reason, then we can start looking at things a little bit more objectively.
Love it. And it's you bring something up that I just want to point out for the audience, is that Tatiana is pointing out the brain automatically goes to survival first. And what's funny about that is we have Mars going retrograde this weekend on the 7th, and that is going to, Mars is our planet of action, motivation, but survival as well. Mm-hmm. And with it going retrograde in the sign of Leo, and it will stay retrograde until January, end of January, 1st of February, it's going to retrograde all the way back to Cancer. And and what that's going to trigger for us is it's going to start triggering inside of ourselves, because when planets go retrograde, they become more internal, that it's that survival. How am I surviving in the world? How am I surviving in my world? How am I surviving in the places that I think I belong? Maybe I don't belong here. I think what we're going to find is a lot of us questioning, do I really matter? And am I really making a positive impact in the world, or in my community, or in my family? And I think there's also going to be feelings that we're feeling threatened within ourselves, as far as, do I belong in this body? And I just want to offer this, and this is we're just going wherever it goes today, Tatiana. I would say that for me, when I don't feel I even belong in this world, it can lead to some pretty dark thoughts, and mm-hmm. I think people are going to be triggered by that. So when someone is in that state of mind, how do you work with them?
Acknowledging is important. Like, yeah, I can see how that's true for you. Something that's kind of problem solving that I tend to go to is really thinking about where I do belong. Because is it with the world in general? Maybe not. But I know I have at least a small handful of people that I know love and accept and cherish me for who I am, not for anything that I can provide to them or that I need to prove myself in any way. I can show up as me. I know I belong with those people. And that for me is enough, because it has to be. It's my brain goes to back to thinking, like, you know, teenage years. And of course we can have these all throughout life, but, you know, like the suicidal ideations of like, man, I wonder what it'd be like if I wasn't here. And that's not necessarily a suicidal ideation, right? It's important that we contemplate our death. But wonder what it'd be like if I wasn't here. Would anybody miss me? For me, it was always counting off the people that would. And of course, Mom, you were on there. And Talbot now, and of course, Rosie and Greg, and for me, and there's a handful of people, but I know that those people would miss me. Do I expect that people in India or China or Russia or, you know, Colombia are going to miss me? No, they don't know me. Why should they? But I matter to people here. I have influence over those handful of people. I know I have influence over my clients and my coworkers. And for me, that's what's important. But if those people are hard to find, is there an organization that you feel you can make a difference in? Like volunteering, especially around the holidays. You know, maybe those sign-up sheets are full at this point, but can we find another holiday that we can do this for in the upcoming future? Or, you know, tag that away for next year and make it a priority of I can be of service to something greater than myself, and I can be long in that moment. I can provide food, I can provide clothing, I can always donate something too. If we don't have the means for that, can we just be in nature and say, you know what, I am here, I belong among the trees and the birds.
Love it.
So,
thank you.
There's to bring that out. Yeah.
No, thank you. And I'm going to add on to that, because one of the trends that I find in a lot of human beings that I work with, frustration and anger, they're raging because there's an external force, meaning a person or a particular circumstance that they have no control over, but they're not getting what they want from it. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to fall into that dark hole of rejection. It's like the universe is rejecting me because it's putting me in this survival mode, or this person who I love and adore is rejecting me, so I must not be worth anything. And trying to reconcile that for themselves is a very uncomfortable, painful process. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to get caught up in what I don't have, right? Where it's like, all I want is this, but I can't have it, therefore I'm not worthy, or I don't belong.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You're speaking to shame, and that's a very childhood thing that we learn, which is something that I don't think we have enough time to touch on today. But a mental health professional can certainly help you work through, those feelings of shame, not being good enough, not being safe enough, being powerless and helpless at all times. You know, things like that. But yes, if you can, and of course it kind of sounds woo-woo, whatever, but if you can belong with yourself, you will know you always have somewhere that you belong to. And of course, that also takes a lot of practice and self-reflection and awareness to be able to get in touch with who you are. So yeah. It, of course, sounds easier said than done. But it's not impossible.
It's not. And I default to grounding practice for things like that just as a basis. That's the foundation for my work on my own right to be here, my own self-worth and esteem and all of that. It's like the very first thing is my soul, our souls were brilliant enough. This world is not cursed, people. It's not. Yes, it's hard. It's painful. But it's not. We aren't here in, you know, I mean, sometimes it feels like hell, but our soul itself is so indestructible and wise and decided. It wanted to incarnate in this thing called human, in this body, this meat suit, whatever you want to call it, and said, right here, this is consciousness having an expression as Jamie. I have a right to be here. Consciousness says, here I am. And that is grounding. I am here. I am present. I'm in my body. And then it's from there that I can move into the healing process, into the feeling connected to my truth and my sovereignty. And it's from that place, as long as I'm stabilized within this, as you're talking about, that it's not about having the right relationship with yourself. I mean, it is, but what you were pointing to with being, knowing that you belong to yourself, when that's stabilized, then you can start speaking the truth to yourself. You can look in the mirror and say, man, I love everything about me. Like we were talking about women who have children and all the processes of pregnancy and how it changes our bodies and all of that. And my body has changed throughout the years and stuff. And I've spent a long labor of love because of expectations, societies, things like that, wanting, you know, to have a man think I'm beautiful, you know, things like that. I've gone through all of that looking at my body, and especially now that I'm 50, looking at some wrinkles and, you know, coloring my gray hair and things like that, and saying, you know what an amazing process this human experience has become. And I love who I am as I am right now.
So I want to circle back to feminine rage, because this loops in perfectly that, you know, with where we don't belong, we have to really consider our cultures, because they're so different for everybody, but then two, our lineages. And a lot of people, especially here in the United States, this is not, let me rephrase, the majority of people here in the United States, this is not your homeland. We have traveled here by force or choice over many, many years from various places. And in that time frame, or in that process, we have lost some of our identity because we have disconnected from the land that we were born on, that our bodies know. We have been disconnected from our culture because maybe it's been erased or it's been lost in travel. We've lost particular family members through that process. And so whether you've done this yourself or your ancestors have, it still travels in your DNA. And so if you're feeling like you don't belong here, it could very well be because you don't belong here, and that's okay. Is it possible for you to make a journey back to where you came from and really reconnect with that history for you and feel more connected? And if it's not possible to make the journey, what kind of research can we do so that we feel more connected to our history or herstory?
I love that.
And going into that too with, you know, aging and things like that. So more feminine rage, this goes to fuck diet culture and fuck body standards and societal norms around how a woman should age. And I know men, you have your own rhetoric, but so I'm not going to speak to that. I'm going to speak to the women part, but we're supposed to be, it's like where I am right now is like waking. It's like the Barbie monologue. It's like America Ferrera somehow got into my head or in my life and woke me up from the Kens. And it's awful. It's empowering and it's awful. Both those things can coexist. But it is incredibly hard to do things correctly because you are always being shamed for what you're not doing. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. I have to color my gray hair. I have to wear the skin-tight bodysuit to hug all of my curves so I can wear this bodycon dress. I have to wear all this makeup and hide my crow's feet and my laughter lines. Your laughter lines? Embrace your laughter. That's amazing. Or guess what? If you have frown lines, that probably says that you've had a really tough life and it's been hard for you to smile and you've been betrayed and you've had a lot of loss. We have stretch mark cream. We have butt sculpting pants. We have heels. We have all of these things to try and change who we are, to try to fit in. And no wonder we don't belong, because we don't feel like us at all. Today, I am on my period. I am wearing sweatpants and I am seeing clients in a sweatshirt that says therapy is dope. And I put on makeup and that's the extent of it. And I don't care because I'm showing up as me and I know my clients will appreciate it. I don't feel great. I'm not sick. I just don't feel great. And I'm going to honor that. But we've been told we don't need to honor who we are. And that is a lie. And we do. Women, anybody rather, a human being has a range of emotions. And to say that because you look like a woman or you look like a man or whatever it is, that you can only express certain ones is garbage. It's garbage. People used to say, oh my gosh, I'd rather have a boy than a girl. Why? Because girls were deemed high maintenance. I have to make sure she has all of these emotion words. I have to make sure she knows how to dress and sew and clean and cook and bear children and be ready for a husband. And but boys, historically, we haven't had to do any of that. No one cared about their feelings. You grow up, you work outside, you die. We breed you for death. We breed you to procreate and to go off and fight our wars. Good luck to you. So historically, it has meant if I have a boy, it's easier to neglect them. When you have a child, it is important that they are well-rounded in everything, that they can survive when you are no longer around. And I'm very angry about that too, because we have all these four generations of men who are emotionally constipated because it wasn't important then, and I can understand that. It wasn't a cultural norm, but here we are now, and the culture is different. And they have to be emotionally attuned. They're not always going off to fight wars. You don't need emotions in war. You need to shut that down so you can be ready to die. I get that, but that's not where we are. Other parts of the world, that's probably what they're doing, because we're seeing a lot of war and famine and genocide and survival. But here in this country, unless you're truly in survival mode, I don't have enough to pay to live, then we are afforded, of course, I'm sure there's other great things I'm missing, but we are afforded the opportunity to be in touch with our emotions. And because we're afforded that opportunity, then we need to be giving that to everybody.
Amen. What a beautiful note to end the show on. Because our emotional body, it's not our only body, but it is just as important as the physical and spiritual bodies. And when all are aligned, the mind, body, the mind, emotion, body, spirit is all aligned, and we accept fully all of that, that's what it means to be fully human, then we can be purposeful in the world and we can know how valuable we are. And this is where we can create positive change in the world. Thank you for joining me today, Tatiana. And I know that people who are listening would love, if nothing else, just to follow you. If Tatiana is licensed in Virginia, so unless you live in Virginia, she wouldn't be able to work with you. But if they want to just follow you, stalk you, whatever, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram under the handle therapist_Tatiana. Tatiana's with a Y, not an I. Psychology Today, but again, like, if it's not me and you're interested in mental health, Psychology Today is a great resource to start with, to find any practitioner in your area, to find groups. I also want to add a little side note, because I thought about it after I said it. Mental health in the professional setting is not the only way to find healing. So if there's, you know, spoken word workshops that you want to attend, or dance workshops, or there's something within your culture that feels more true for you, please go find that too. It does not always have to be in the therapy setting, because I know therapy has been whitewashed and has harmed so many people in the past. But I can tell you that me and this other generation, this newer generation of therapists coming in, are really working pretty hard to try and dismantle all that old stuff. So, yep, I'm online.
Awesome. Love it. Thank you. I love you so much. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Stay tuned for all the other great shows here on 1-2 Radio. Thank you again, Jay, for producing. Have a wonderful week, everyone.